From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea, in for Ed Gordon. The holiday season is an obstacle course for those of us trying to get fit or stay fit. But take heart. There are ways to avoid the minefields. In a moment, nutritionist Rovinia Brock will give us her tips on how to eat right, even around the holidays. But first, the story of one Black woman whose battle with weight cost her her life. Robin McGee is the author of Hungry for More, a Keeping It Real guide for Black women on weight and body image. Her older sister, Kathy, died from complications following gastric bypass surgery. McGee remembers how Kathy's obsession with her appearance compelled her to find a quick fix for weight problems.
For as long as I can remember, she always worried about her weight and her image and what she looked like. I mean, forever. But she just always wanted to be thin. That was her whole dream, was to be thin.
How did she decide to pursue that dream?
Throughout her life, she was always on a diet. I remember she used to travel to Tijuana with her friends to get a diet shots. This was back in the 70s before, you know, the diet craze really hit America. Kathy was right there. Jack LaLanne, you know, Weight Watchers, starving herself, eating. And then, you know, she heard about this gastric bypass. And some people think it was a quick fix for Kathy, but really it was a done deal. When she heard about that, it was the answer to her prayers.
When did you find out that your sister was going to go under the knife for this surgery?
Probably a couple months before the surgery. Her, myself, and my younger sister, Teresa, we had lunch together. And I call it Kathy's last luncheon because she ordered a big platter of chicken wings, but she never touched them. She was talking to us so excited about having this surgery. She'd read about it in People magazine. Carney Wilson was talking about this surgery. And that was 2001, before it really became popular. So she said, I'm going to be a size 9 by the big 5-0. And when she told me, I really, you know, I just thought, well, it's a tummy tuck or it's a, you know, it's a routine surgery. I didn't really know how complicated the surgery really is.
And when did you find out what had happened during the surgery?
She had the surgery in April. And during the time that she was in the hospital, I kept calling her room, getting no answer. And I just had this dread, this foreboding. I just knew something was wrong. 4 o'clock in the morning on April 16th, 2001, her friend, best friend, called me, and I just screamed, and I thought if I screamed long and hard enough, I could bring her back. She was gone.
You've turned the pain that you experienced in losing your sister into this book, which doesn't just deal with bypass surgery and doesn't seem to outright condemn it, but asks African-American women to take a closer look at our relationship to food and body image. What did you find in doing this book and looking at your own life, your friends' lives, your family's lives, that does work for African-American women?
We really have to figure out why we eat. What is our relationship with food? Is it our best friend? Do we turn to food when we're depressed or when we're happy? Or is it a dreaded enemy? Do we go on these yo-yo diets where we're up and down, starving ourselves and then binging? What really is our relationship with food? I found a lot of women, African-American women included, have a level of depression that we don't really deal with. The statistics show that African-American women are going to be more depressed than maybe any other group. So I'd like us to take a look inside, really what's going on inside. Sexual abuse. Many of us have suffered sexual abuse, which experts say can lead to so-called eating disorders, where we're binging in the mistaken notion that if we gain weight and put on weight, that maybe we won't be sexually attractive, thinking that being sexually attractive is what caused the abuse, which, of course, that's not true, but that's sometimes what people feel. I think that we need to come together as a community. We need education. We need to tell each other that food affects our mood. And, you know, we can eat good, but we don't have to overeat.
Let's talk about the issue of federal guidelines for weight. By any standard, many African-American women are overweight, 70% according to federal guidelines. But how does Black physiognomy, body shape, bone density affect some of those weight charts?
Well, that's a good question, because really they don't necessarily apply to the African-American body type. We tend to have bigger bones and we tend to carry more weight. So when you see that, just as an example, you should be 105 pounds if you're 5'2", that doesn't necessarily refer to the African-American body type. So I would say don't pay much attention to those charts. You need to really know how you feel yourself every day. Are you sluggish? Can you walk up the stairs? You know, are you tired? Do you have headaches? A lot of that is related to the foods you're eating. So you really need to listen to your own body.
Finally, who needs to be taking the lead on this issue? There certainly has been enough attention to weight in our society, and yet we are growing more overweight overall. So what kind of interventions need to take place on an individual level or on a societal level to make sure that we turn this around?
Well, I'd like to see more done in the schools. You know, we took the physical education programs out of many schools, and that's really hurt our children because their obesity rate has really skyrocketed in the last few years. So I think we really need to start an education program in the schools where we're teaching children how to eat, where we're bringing parents in and teaching them what foods to eat, you know, the amount of exercise that is good. We really, it all comes from education, I believe.
Robin McGee is the author of Hungry for More, a Keeping It Real Guide for Black Women on Weight and Body Image. Certainly a timely topic. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
To hear Robin McGee reading from her book, log on to our website at npr.org.